Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Brian Davis.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Redra Von Dedra. All hail the King of Ginger Ale. It's Ryan. Davey, how are you?
You know, I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
How are you? I'm just, you know, I feel run down. I'm a little tired. All right. But, you know, we're here.
That's right. We're
making
here.
The best of it.
We got two big episodes coming up. We got a TV program to talk about. We also have our 500th episode, asterisk, like Thunderbolts.
Ooh. Yeah.
There's way more than 500, but we're celebrating 500 episodes of Hashtag Dork coming up in our next episode. But we'll get into our topic du jour here in a moment. But middle of May. How, just quick update on the old softball squad. How are you guys doing? How many?
Not great, Bob. Okay. We are 1-5 in our league right now. We're in the last week. So we have tried to play a certain school out of Cambridge. This will be our fifth time having to reschedule this game just because it's rained every single weekend for like a month and a half.
Yeah, it has. Bad month, right?
Terrible. So bad. So this is the fifth time we've tried to play this game. So we have to play four games this week.
Oh,
it's brutal.
Did you play your sister's team yet?
We play them tomorrow.
Oh, you do? Does she still not know?
No, she knows. So it was a whole set of circumstances that like basically one of my students like dropped the ball. Like she was here for something else. And Matt. They're asking her what she coached. She's like, "Oh, I coach softball." She's like, "Oh, Mr. Davies coaches softball." And she's like, "What?"
And I was, yeah, that would have been a good
one. I got some angry text messages after that.
Yep, but I can imagine.
She's like, "Who else knows?" I go, "Everybody, literally everybody but you."
The world knows. We talked about it on a very successful podcast. Yep. Everybody knows. Everybody can't stop talking. Everyone will shut up about it.
I know. They can't stop.
Oh, also, programming note. We thought we're going to be doing friendship this week, but I misread the thing. Limited release, so it wasn't in a lot of theaters this weekend. I couldn't really find. We were gonna go as a group, do Sloppy Steaks, do the whole thing, and so like the bigger release is the 23rd. So we will do Friendship, but just later in the month.
Yeah, that's a shame because I was excited for that.
Devastating. All right, let's get to a quick one of these. Are very timely with our topic du jour, but you finally got a chance to watch Tales of the Underworld, the 6-episode shorts on Disney Plus. It was Asajj Ventress and Cad Bane. Takeaway?
Just okay. It was all right. I was like, oh, that was fun. You know, not anything I think anybody has to like run out and go see. You know, there's not a lot of
no. I was very excited about it. I think it's probably out of the three that we've seen, Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire, Tales of the Underworld, it's probably the worst one.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bad. I gave it a 4. Yeah, I think you gave it a 4.5. We posted about it. It's fine, but it's just like you hear these two characters. I was expecting more. And the way the Asajj Ventress episode or arc begins, you're like, this is badass. And then it kind of fizzled on me.
Definitely kind of fizzled because it starts, like you said, it starts hot. There's like something that happens that you're like, oh, this is going to be interesting. Okay. And then it's not interesting.
I was less interested in where it was heading. So, yeah, I mean, give it a go. It's short, but also part of what's like good about it is also what's bad about it. Because you're like, oh, it's only 15 minutes. So it's like 45 minutes per character. But those are both pretty sweet characters that you're like, they didn't really have enough time to sort of tell their whole backstory.
I think that was it. I think for me, like you and I love those characters, like more Cad Bane for me than Asajj Ventress, but
I really
wanted to learn more about that character, and I feel like I didn't.
No.
Like, this isn't really a spoiler, but like, there's this whole thing where like Cad Bane goes to jail. Like, that would have been interesting to see him in jail.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. So anyway, we got Tales of the Underworld. We also got a trailer for Peacemaker Season 2. This bad boy comes out August 21st. I think it looks excellent. I can't wait.
And the trailer is so funny because it's Hawkgirl and the Green Lantern.
And
Max Lord. So just making fun of it with like hot mics.
Yeah.
And you can hear the whole thing.
I can hear what you guys are saying.
You said I suck.
Yeah.
But it does look really funny.
Some good eagly. Eagly's part of this. Vigilante looks like he's back.
I don't know how, but
I'm in on this whole series. Speaking of the DCU, I think this Wednesday we're getting a new Superman trailer, which I don't need. I might not even watch. I'm gonna go see Superman. We're all gonna go see Superman. What is your Roddy T's prediction for Superman?
86. There's gonna be like this. There's all these like weird comparisons that are gonna be to like the, you know, Christopher Reeves. There's gonna be, you know, it's the Snyder people who like review bomb it for whatever.
Yeah, reason. that'll be audience.
No, I know, but I think it's gonna be like 86 around Critics? There.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm hoping, like, I'm kind of expecting like a 5 out of 6, even though I'm not a big Superman guy, but for like the dork score, James Gunn makes great movies. I want to see where this goes. If it's below a 5, I'm going to be disappointed. And if it's better, I'll be thrilled. I'll be honestly thrilled. All right, we have a jam packed episode to get to. So let's just dive right in.
Y'all ready for Bisque?
You ready for Bisque?
You didn't even ask.
Are you ready for Bisque?
Oh, I guess.
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. Today, it is Andor Season 2, Episodes 7, 8, and 9, the third arc, the penultimate arc, if you will, taking place 2BBY as we lead right up until the events of Rogue One, like we've been doing for our previous two Andor episodes. It's got to be all spoilers. I will say this, if you guys haven't watched any of it at all, we both loved Season 1. Speaking for myself, the first 6 episodes of season 2 were a bit slow. Good stuff going on. I said it was interesting, but pretty slow. This arc is far and away the best arc so far.
Yes. Yes. And I remember there were some episodes in season 1 that were kind of like, okay. Like,
yeah, same. That's true.
It's a lot of like Lord of the Rings, like just walking somewhere.
Yeah.
Vibe. But again, to establish what are becoming like really significant characters.
Yeah.
In the lore, like this happens, you said, in the span of like 4 years, and it's massive.
Oh,
it's like the things they're doing are like, this really matters.
It's incredible. Yeah, there's some amazing stuff, and it's one of those weird ones where there's no lightsabers, so that turns a lot of people off. It's like really serious. It's like really heavy in parts, and so that might turn some people off, but then you also have people that might just skip it because they're like, oh, Star Wars is like kid stuff. And you're like, this show isn't. Like,
no.
There's a lot of Star Wars stuff that is kid stuff. And, you know, what they're sort of basing some of this stuff off of is very kid-friendly, like other shows and movies. But this itself is very,
it's
very
so good. It's so good. But the other thing, too, is like, again, we talked about it last week where people are like, dude, Star Wars has to get political. I'm like, it's always what?
Star Wars, yeah.
Like, what? It's like those people like are giving like The Last of Us like a hard time because like there's a line that Ellie says like, oh, I'm going to be a dad. Like she says that in the game.
Right. And, yeah, like, there's a lot of stuff out for years. Directly like, from the game, but that's new to these people. And they're like, oh, they're just changing it for the show now. And you're like,
yeah,
no, they're not.
Last of Us went woke. Like, no, it didn't. Like, it's always been this. It has always been this.
Are you caught up on Last of Us, by the way? I should have thrown that in there. I thought episode 5 was pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. And some shot for shot stuff. That was pretty incredible.
Yeah, so if there's only 2 more episodes this season, I have a lot of questions on how they're going to do that.
If I say this to people who don't know, it's not a spoiler, but they're probably going to end at the aquarium.
You think so? Yeah, maybe. But like, we haven't seen Abby in like 3 episodes. I'm like, what are we going to do there?
And then the next episode is the one with kind of like a flashback.
Flashback. Episode. Yeah.
So I think day 3 is when they get,
I forget, in the game, does it go day 1 for Ellie, day 2, day 3, and then Abby 1, 2, 3?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, no, they do, because they show it from different perspectives, so you actually play when the Ellie stuff is going on, play as Abby too, so like it's like they're crossing over. But you do it in that order. It's like 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, like 3 or something. It's
got it. Yeah, because I was trying to remember. I'm like, I remember certain, like the major points, but like the actual storytelling of it, I was like,
by the way, Alana Eubank might be the greatest actress of all time.
Who's that? Is that Gina?
No, she was Ted's mom. What's her name? The mom.
Oh, yeah. Ted.
She was in Waiting. She's in Always Sunny. She's so good.
She's really good.
She can do anything.
I know. She was
Roxy, the prostitute, Frank's prostitute.
Yes, she was. Yeah, she was. She's excellent.
Jack gets tired of the dick skin, man.
Yeah, she'd fit right in on Andor with some the acting chops on this. So we jump ahead a year, as we do with all these three episode arcs. So it is 2BBY or BBY2, however it's written. Episode 7 is titled Messenger. 8, Who Are You? And 9, Welcome to the Rebellion. Let's just start a lot of different ways we can go. But right off the rip, you see Yavin 4 and the Rebel base. So like they've gotten a lot done in that year. This looks like a pretty functional Rebel base happening right now.
Not quite ready, as I say, but it's getting there.
True. It's getting it's built. It's a nice build.
And it's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of space. A lot of people coming in and out of there.
And Andor's got a nice treehouse.
He's got a sick treehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. We also get a force healer. What do you make of a force healer at the camp? Bix wants the force healer to help Cassian with his shoulder. He's like very skeptical of the force healer. She's not like a Jedi or anything, but she like uses the force. And then she's also kind of like, so she refers to Cassian as a messenger, hence the name of the thing. And sort of talking about like his overall importance. I think it also really triggers in Bix's mind that she's going to have to leave, you know, to get Cassian to keep doing what he's doing type of thing. But a force healer, and I like Cassian was very hesitant to be messing around with a force healer.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me and what we've seen in the most of like these live action series, and what I'm actually a fan of is like non-Jedi force sensitive people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you don't have to be a Jedi to use the force. You know what I mean? I feel like
I'm one with the force and the force is one with me. Like
there's mysticism, but it doesn't always have to be associated with Sith or Jedi. It can be myriad things, which is I said it was interesting.
It is.
Right? Who doesn't love a good force witch?
I like force witches. Dathomir. I'm very pro witches.
Yeah.
Cyril has quite an arc. We've been following Cyril for a little while now. He's sort of one of these guys that just wants people to like him, and he's just kind of going along with the plan. We knew he was sort of left in the dark on a lot of it. He realizes there's a lot of shit going down, and he really goes through it in these three episodes. And then meets his demise. Pick up a pod to Cyril.
What's funny too, because Dedra has this like they're having like this tense conversation where he's like, "How long have you known?" They're like, "This is what is going on."
Yeah.
And she said something to him, the effect of like, "Well, you didn't mind the promotions."
Right. Like, yeah, dude, you didn't say anything.
And it kind of like makes him, you can see it, the snap when it comes in him. It's like, I wasn't getting promoted because I was doing a good job. I was getting promoted because you were using me. You knew that like I would fall for it.
Yeah. Yeah. The world.
And I wouldn't ask questions.
Also, it's a wild thing. And it's episode 8, the "Who Are You" thing, because Cyril's whole thing has been also to like snuff out Cassian Andor, and like he knows who he is, and Cassian Andor has no idea who Cyril is.
None.
Like, who are you? They have a good little go though, like as a part. So the Gorman massacre is a massive part of this whole
series,
clearly. But then, like within the massacre, you get like a good fight scene between Cyril and Cassian,
and he almost kills him.
He does. Yeah. He almost
gets him. And it just, you could see the crazy just happens to Cyril. That's it for him. Yeah.
So the Gorman massacre, which they've been kind of pushing for a while. And if you really look at the way, going back to like the first episode, like the way Krennic talks about what they need. So they need to go in there. They need to get stuff out of Gorman for the Death Star. And their whole plan is like, we're going to start using our PR team and have all the other planets think Gorman's a bunch of assholes. And then Gorman is going to quote unquote fight back. And then we're going to have to do what's necessary.
Right.
But what's amazing, what's fucked up. And it's also, you know, real life stuff is not lost on me, but the way this whole thing is set up, the Empire needs the Gorman massacre to wipe these people out and get what they need. The Rebellion also needs the Gorman massacre, because without it, they're not going to really be able to rally people behind them.
Right. And so they're not really doing anything to stop any of this.
No. Like, I think Cassian is shocked as to like the full like scope. Totality of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The scope. But like, because Luthen has a line in there. Was it Cassian that says something to him? Like, well, what the fuck? Like with Gorman? And Luthen's like it'll burn bright. Like basically being like, yeah, it'll be insane.
It's the lamb to the slaughter for us. Yeah. Like we're gonna let this happen to show. And basically it's just like large scale fracking, right? So they're taking stuff that's like, they said it was an armory or they said it was like a base, but really it's like a big drill. Like they're just drilling. They're going to collapse the planet basically.
And then eventually the planet you won't be able to live on anyway. And
like Mandalore.
Right. And then they mentioned like, well, could we like transplant these people? And there's like, I was like 800,000 of them. And they're like, it's just not happening. And what's fucked up too, how they do it is they have like the JV squad there to be like, they like purposely bring in the shitty, on purpose. They don't know what they're doing. But then they even have one of their own guys, one of the Empire guys, shoot another Empire guy.
Right.
To get the whole thing going. Because Gorman was doing a peaceful protest originally. Yes.
And that was so, they were singing like the Gore national anthem or something like that.
Yeah. But it is like when you really think about it and knowing what we know about, you know, Rogue One and the future of Star Wars, the Gorman massacre, more beneficial to the rebellion. As fucked up as that is, like they needed that because that paves the way for Mon Mothma's whole thing.
Right. Well, I have an issue with Mon Mothma and her speech, by the way.
Okay.
But in terms of like the pacing of the story, someone brought this up on like TikTok or some shit.
Okay, that's fine.
She didn't have to do that. It was a great speech. It was a great. If you knew that, like, so if Bail Organa or someone comes like, hey, or someone tells Luthen tells you that Bail Organa's team is compromised, don't trust any of those people other than me. And this guy's like never lied to you. This guy shot you straight. And they're like, I love the like I have friends everywhere thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's pretty sweet.
I like that.
Why did she go to the Senate that day if she knew?
What do you mean? Well, she knew she had to deliver that speech, I think.
But she didn't just go.
But you take off?
Yeah, no, just go.
This was broadcast, so all the senators hear that, and it was broadcast, so everybody heard that, and then they eventually cut it off, and that's why it was important that they had it blocked, and like they were trying to shut it down even sooner.
Yeah,
but I don't think like, people. She's
Bail Organa could have done it because he was staying anyway, right? Yeah, he's I'll stay and I'll get arrested,
but he would have been killed.
He stayed anyway.
Yeah, but he didn't do the speech. If Mon Mothma stays, I bet they kill her.
No. What I was saying is she should have left, not given the speech, and just left.
Oh, so I think it was important for her to do it where she did it. Because I think at that point the Senate is like maybe you flipped the people you changed a few people's minds
and you got like a clear leader in that way,
a very clear leader,
yeah,
which she later becomes, by the way. She ends up being like Chancellor Mon Mothma like well after the original trilogy. I think
she's higher ranking than Leia, I believe.
Yeah, you can make a case for the rebellion's purposes she's the most important character,
right? Like, get her out of this. Which was a great scene to like Cassian getting her out of there.
Insane. Gone. So that's the part that obviously I didn't know is just, you know, because obviously Star Wars is so, you know, it's a huge galaxy and yet it's very small, meaning like, you know, like Luke Skywalker has his hand, like the whole thing is really about Anakin Skywalker in so many ways. But for Cassian Andor to be critical in both getting the plans for the Death Star in Rogue One with Jyn Erso, but also he's the one that saves Mon Mothma's life and gets her out of the Senate and then allows her to be like the head of the rebellion.
Huge. And then is one of the first people to die for the rebellion. I mean, this is like how we haven't heard his name. Oh, up until like Rogue One, like, but like that's a guy you would expect.
Although, isn't there a line in episode 4?
They talk about Rogue One. They talk about the team, but they don't mention him by name.
Yeah, they say they don't mention the names, but they do say something about like a team like sacrificed for this or whatever, right? Something like that. But yeah, I think I was like blown away. Like the show literally could have been called Mon Mothma. Mon Mothma might be as important as Cassian. She gets a ton of screen time.
You think like these two, like there would be, you know, there's statues of people. There should be a statue of Cassian Andor somewhere.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely, especially with Mon Mothma knowing what he's done and like all that stuff. You also get the setup for K2SO. So it's the KX droids, which are used for the Empire, which is also
security droids. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that's why it was a Jyn Erso. I was like scared to death when she sees him the first time because it's like a security droid.
Yeah. And they fucking destroy people during the Gorman massacre.
Oh my God. And there was so I read somewhere that there was an episode or a deleted scene with, it was like a horror episode or like with K2SO where they're taking him back on like a transport, like a huge like tank transport. And he wakes up and starts like ripping apart the ship.
That's pretty cool.
Which would have been like, pretty awesome. But they scrapped it because it was too expensive or whatever. But like that would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah, like, we don't really need this, but
that just hit him with a car. Just get it over with.
All right, a couple other things here. When Mon Moth is doing that speech, where's Palpatine, and why is Palpatine not there that day?
I think, I mean, the president's not in the Senate every day, you know. True. So it's not like.
So you're probably right, and like he's probably just worried about the Death Star and trying to get that thing operational. He's probably fucking around with Vader somewhere. But I would just think, if word like after Gorman happens, it's a pretty big deal. Like they arrested the Gorman senator, right? They just like brought him in, so they were already trying to like snuff this thing out and like get it to go their way. So even if there was just rumor that she might go kind of off script or whatever, I would think he would want to be there for that. But maybe he's like, I'm good, not worried about it yet.
Yeah,
I also read somewhere that this was really smart. So we talked about how Jimmy Smits had to get recast as Bail Organa because like apparently conflict, which I think sucks. Like this whole franchise does such a great job at bringing people back, whether it's for voice actors or, you know, actors from different movies. They even have CGI'd the face of like dead actors and actresses so many times. Like it's so important to them. So then to recast, I think fucking stinks. But what I read somewhere was they specifically threw him in to the second arc for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Just so fans could kind of get it out of their system. Like, wait, what the fuck? Like, blah, 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 blah. And then like now he's a much more significant character, which was actually pretty good.
And it was funny. Like I was talking, I think I told you, like I was talking to some, my wife or somebody. And then he's like, oh, Senator Organa. And I was like, wait, hold on. And I like stopped them. I was like, hang on. I like rewound it. I was like, what did he say? Like, that's Bail Organa. No, it isn't. Yeah. You know, and then I got over it, you know.
Connor in the chat says, Palpatine woke up in his pajamas 2 hours later, sipping his Jawa juice, and says, oh, shit. They turned the news on.
He was reading books. He was reading books to kids, and I someone leaned like... in and whispered it to him.
Mon Mothma's kind of...
Mon Mothma's going off the rails.
He's turning the Senate on you right now. She's calling you out by name. You need to get going. Although, who's going to deliver that news to him? Is that Krennic that has to deliver that news to him?
Uh-huh.
That's tough. Krennic, by the way, mentions the Emperor I think in episode 7.
Yeah, and he mentions that he spoke to him.
Yeah,
so he's him and I think Vader are the only ones right now who'd speak directly to him, or maybe Tarkin too.
Oh, Tarkin for sure, I bet. Yeah. But it's pretty good. All right, so we know the fates of and also Bix leaves. That's a significant part too. So Bix is still alive, but Bix just gives leaves.
The Dear John letter.
Yeah, she's like, see you later, dude. So next week we get tomorrow as we're recording this. Tomorrow night we get episodes 10, 11, and 12. It's the final three episodes of Andor. It's going to line right up to Rogue One. The showrunner has said all along, we're going to view Rogue One differently after this
season. I already do. And again, what's beautiful about this show is it makes Rogue One that much stronger of a movie.
Yeah, that's true. And Rogue One was already great. Like you didn't need to fill in a whole lot of stuff, but they're like, all right, we'll give you some more. So we already know the fates of a lot of these characters, but not all of them. So we can play a little game called Who Lives, Who Dies in the final three episodes. We already know that at least in these episodes, Cassian is going to survive and then die in Rogue One. Saw Gerrera is going to survive and then die in Rogue One. Mon Mothma is going to live.
Yep.
Bail Organa is going to live until the Death Star gets operational and they fucking torch Alderaan.
Just blow up his planet. And again, like maybe his involvement in this is the reason why.
Why they chose Alderaan? Yeah, good one. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That's a good call. I think there's a good chance of that. Like if that word gets back to him, they're like, wait, who let her speak? This guy did?
This
like,
guy? Okay.
And then Krennic will survive this and then die in Rogue One. But four characters that jump out to me anyway, because also so Cyril's dead. So of other characters of importance, you have Bix, you have Dedra, you have Luthen, and you have Kleya, like Luthen's sort of partner in crime, Kleya. Okay, I think it's Kleya.
Yeah.
Do all these characters die in the next three, or does somebody kind of squeak through?
I think yes. And I think that I think Bix has to die, but like not necessarily like on camera.
Yeah.
Because of the relationship with Jin and Cassian in Rogue One. Because he knows he's never going to see her again. Right. So I think that's like.
Yeah. So I wonder if she could survive. Because so she gets out, right? She doesn't die. I was certainly thinking she was going to die because she's not mentioned in Rogue One. So if she leaves and now we jump ahead another year, and if he's already gone a year without seeing her, doesn't mean he's not thinking about her, but he's not going to see her. And then we know when he dies. Is there a way that she's helping the rebellion from somewhere else?
No, and I think because the whole purpose of her leaving in the letter was that, like, you can't do what you need to do with me here. Like, right. I'm holding you. You won't do it because of me.
Yeah.
So I got to go.
Yeah.
Like, I got to be out of the equation for you to actually follow through and be the messenger like the woman said you are.
No, but I'm saying I think she could live, Bix.
She could.
She could.
But I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
Dedra.
Ah, she's got to go.
Probably gotta go for sure.
I would love because of her, you know, association with like Cyril and like all that stuff. You know how she needs to go, and I'm just gonna come out and say it, Rich.
Oh boy,
she needs to get force choked.
She needs
to be made an example of by your, you know who,
Vader.
Yep.
I really hope we see him. I have my doubts that he'll be in it, but I'm praying we get a little bit.
I would love a taste for him to walk into the room of mm-hmm. those people. Not say a word, murder her, and mm-hmm. walk out. That's all I need.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
And no one say a word. They just like,
yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
That's pretty good. It is true. In the chat, they're saying how there is like a romantic tension between Jin and Cassian, but they never go through with it. No, they don't.
But like there is that, like you could see.
There is. But they, I think they made sense. Like he's obviously loves Bix, but then she leaves him, and for a year, it's not like 2 days later, right. And then he's like with like Willy, won't they? With Jin, like it's been a while. Yeah, and it does. It sort of makes sense when you watch it that way. Luthen, is he gonna find a way to squirt through here?
No, I think was it Clea is so sick of his shit that she might kill him. Yeah, I know. I'm serious. Like she takes over the business.
Yeah, it's possible. My guess is he goes. I think like in Rogue One, like they basically wipe out almost everybody because that's the easiest way to sort of solve how come they weren't mentioned in the original series.
And then again, like you just like he could just disappear.
Yeah.
Because they're like true. That.
Yeah, you could send them. You could send them. So yeah. Some of the Rogue One characters that we haven't gotten yet include Jin and Galen Erso. Donnie Yen's character. Yep. We haven't seen him. The other guy, Baze Malbus.
Who was that? The guy with I forget his name, but he was in the first season of Andor. He was in prison with him. And remember, he gives him Cyril's gun.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because remember, he's like, "Whose gun? Whose is this?" It was like an imperial blaster, and he's like, "That's mine." That guy's. He was in prison with him. I forget his name, but he was in prison with him.
Okay.
The casting gave him that gun.
No shit. Okay, so we have seen him. I wonder if we get Bodhi. So that's Riz Ahmed's character. Oh, yes,
Melshi. Was that the Melshi?
Okay, Melshi. Yeah. So Riz Ahmed's character Bodhi, who was he worked for the Empire and then flipped and was like a big part of it. So I wonder if we see him working with like Dedra or Krennic, like possible. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because he was like an engineer, right?
Yeah, and then like he ends up helping them big time, telling them like how shit works or whatever. So I'm fascinated. These last three, specifically episode 8 and 9. Got me like all the way back on board. Yeah. I was like, this is kind of a grind. There's a lot happening. There's some characters I don't care about. And then the shit that went down in these two episodes, I was like, this show was more than back.
And what I would love to see is, you know, you see in Rogue One, Jin meeting Cassian and his team. I would love to see that from the reverse.
Yeah, you could.
And that's how you end it. It's their perspective.
Yeah.
Like she's walking towards them.
Yeah. I think you could even do it in a way where you get right up into Rogue One. But then you also to your either show like the meeting from the other side or you show what some of these characters that aren't in Rogue One are doing at that same time, because they did that in Clone Wars. Remember, they like lined up Clone Wars with episode 3 and it was like we saw Order 66 from like a few different angles. Remember?
Yeah.
So
I just need to see Vader one time. Yeah,
I know.
He doesn't even have to bring the lightsaber out. Doesn't have to bring it out. Right.
I'd walk
in the room.
I'd much rather see him than the Emperor, but I wouldn't mind a quick Emperor either, but I also want to see Vader.
Or you have this Krennic having to explain the whole thing on Gorman, and he's just in the room.
Yeah.
You know, like that's all you need.
I just want to hear the breathing one time.
That's what I mean. You just the same word. You just have to be standing kind of like adjacent and just be in the room.
You can keep the saber holstered for all I care. I just want to hear the breathing.
Or maybe just throw the cape back a little bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's like, dude, I'm wearing a cape.
Or just like show the saber like a gun and then just put it down.
Yeah. God damn. All right. I like it. I like it a lot. So there you go. There is our thoughts on this arc of Andor. We'll save our dork score for the whole season next week. 10, 9, or 10, 11, 12. Looking forward to it. So about 3 more hours, give or take, of Andor. What a season. What a season it's been. Any other thoughts on that program?
It's great.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Give it a go. All right. If you are watching live on the YouTube chat right now, you can jump over to our other link as we're going to celebrate 500 dork episodes. We got a bunch of emails with questions and comments and honestly, some kind words. So we will read a whole bunch of those and we will have a good time with that. So thanks for listening to this one. Tell a friend, tell a dork, and we'll talk to you soon.
The hashtag dork podcast.